Hello, and welcome to Keeping Up with the Joneses TBR. I'm Sarah Jones.
And I'm Tasha Jones.
And this is our book club and passion project where we will be talking all things books,
but probably also a bit about booze and life. Each month, we are going to pull a couple books from our TBR,
summarize them, and share all our thoughts, opinions, likes, dislikes, and anything else that comes up.
Important disclaimer, we are going to spoil books that we are covering, talk about all the details of any steamy, spicy scenes we may stumble into, and likely use language that might make your mom blush. So,
please proceed with caution, use headphones when in public, and earmuff the innocent. In other words, we are a rated R podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Keeping Up with the Joneses TBR. We have a special treat today. We're together.
Woohoo!
Woo! And sufficiently liquored up, so should be fun.
It's going to be a great time. Yes. As we talk about The House Between the Earth and the Moon by Rebecca Sherm.
Yes.
Oh my God, well, this book was sci-fi, dystopian, fantasy. I don't really see how anyone got fantasy out of it.
Right.
It's definitely futuristic, I guess, if that is fancy.
I think that puts it in the fantasy sci-fi category, but I think in order to be fantasy, you have to have, like, a completely different, like, world system.
I don't think that's
true. And there was none of that. And magic. Yeah.
I think fantasy can still happen in this world.
Yeah, with magic.
But there are, elements that make it.
So there was no magic in this. Yeah,
No, and there was nothing that I saw made it
fantasy. I didn't label it as fantasy, but Sarah did her own research, that's in quotations, and saw that it was fantasy tagged. And
somebody had tagged it as fantasy.
Yeah, well, they were wrong.
As you often are.
True. But I will say, I misjudged this book. It leaned heavy into the sci-fi at the beginning. And so I was like, oof, it's too much sci-fi for me.
Hold on. Can we just note that this came off of your TBR?
It did. It did.
You chose to read this book this year.
Because I saw it on a list of, like, dystopian books. And I love dystopian.
Dystopian, though.
So, yeah. So, but then when I started reading it, I was like, oh, this is more sci-fi than dystopian. And I was like, maybe I will not love this. And I misjudged it. It was very philosophical. Hmm. And I liked that. And I think that's what makes a good dystopian novel. So, I enjoyed it.
The Earth we know and love. It was dying in this book for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I loved it. I can see where you're coming from with the philosophical points, but there were points I just really didn't like in this book. And that's
fair.
That took it down for me.
It reminded me a lot of Interstellar, which I love, is in my top five of favorite movies. So,
I've never seen it.
What?
I've never watched it.
Wow. I mean,
I don't even know that movie.
What to say after that? It's only the greatest.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure that if you listed all of your top five movies, I don't like any of them.
Probably.
So the fact that this is in your top five tells me, I probably won't like it.
I was actually, it's probably my second favorite movie. It's pretty high up there. I love this movie.
Side note, what got bumped? Chasing Amy?
No, that's number one.
Love Actually?
Love Actually was probably a top 10. Not a top five.
I mean, you talk about that one a lot, so.
True. I do love Love Actually.
Wait, what else is in your top five? What got bumped for Interstellar?
I don't know. I think it just is. Maybe
also,
nothing got bumped.
I feel like you're growing and adapting, and I like this.
That movie is like 15 years old, so I don't know.
I don't know if 20 years ago I would have assumed you would have a movie like Interstellar in your top five movies.
Huh. Well, thank you. I guess that's a compliment.
It is a compliment. I mean, I feel like at some point in your life, it was mostly rom-coms.
Yeah. That's fair. Or dramas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is too, though. And I think, so I don't, maybe
the people... The sci-fi element just catches me off guard. I'm
yeah, but at the heart of the movie, is about love. Yes, that is the theme of the movie. Not even, not romance, just love. And that is that is the theme of the movie. Whether anybody wants to believe it or not, that is the theme of the movie. And if you don't see it any other way, you're wrong. but, yeah, that, I mean, you gotta watch it, but
I feel like one day
I'm gonna give anything away. It's very long, but the whole, I mean.
This has one of your men in it though, doesn't it?
Matthew McConaughey?
This isn't the movie I thought we were talking about.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know.
Clearly,
it has Anne Hathaway, who I also love.
Okay.
No, it's just it's about making decisions and it's just a great movie.
I apologize. I took us on a rant. Let's get back to the topic at hand. The house between Earth and the moon.
Yes.
So, overall rating?
I'm going to go with a 4, a solid 4. Although I loved it, I do think there were places it could have been stronger.
I think I gave it a 3.
Mm. I got that vibe from you.
It didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
There were things that really bothered me. But also, like, there were other things that I really enjoyed, but there were, I don't know. It's, enough things bothered me that I had to knock it down.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. There were some things, why I couldn't give it a 5. But I definitely, I liked the premise. I feel like it touched on a lot of things, and then it didn't go further. And then especially the ending. I didn't enjoy the ending. Like, I was not satisfied with that.
I was confused in the end. But, okay, so I thought, so many thoughts going through my brain. First of all, it changes POV almost every chapter, but it doesn't tell you it's changing POV. It doesn't give you a heads up of whose POV you're in. You just have to kind of figure it out. And that was bothersome.
That did not bug me that much.
I mean, it didn't bug me tremendously, but it bothered me a little bit because you would go from like deeply into this one character's POV and then all of a sudden it would switch and you would just be like, wait, what the fuck? Who are we talking about? What's happening? And then you would realize that you're in someone else's POV and you're just like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, should we give a synopsis, a mini synopsis?
Sure, go ahead.
So you have a group of some scientists, pioneers. They call themselves the pioneers, but not all of them were scientists. Some of them were just maybe...
They all had people. A role.
Yeah,
though.
But they were chosen for like their specific
talent
or expertise. So they were picked to go live on this space station.
Intergalactics 2.
Mm-hmm. That was built by a tech company that had taken over, I think, the world. Just the US, but I think the world. So they were in control of everyone's cell phones, which were implanted in this future time. And then, every kind of tech aspect of your life was controlled by this one company called Census. And so Census built this space station, picked all these people to...
Billionaires.
To live. The billionaires
were building it for billionaires.
Yeah. So. The billionaires were going to live there, but they picked these other lay people to help build it and then research, be able to use it as a lab or whatever.
Research that is benefiting Parallaxis, though. So even,
we learn that later, but yeah.
I feel like that's pretty early on that you figure it out. Like, they're approached because of what their expertise is and how it can benefit Parallaxis.
Oh, see, I guess I didn't think about it that way. I wanted to believe that Parallaxis wasn't the evil tech giant that they kind of turned out to be. And I say kind of because one of the people, one of the founders of the company ended up on the station. So this book had many, many layers, and not all of them were explored, which is why my rating went down. So had they made this a giant book and really explored like the relationship with Rachel and what's her face, Catherine, the two founders of the tech company,
the sisters,
yeah.
I feel like I probably really understood their relationship more than you did as you being an only child. I don't feel like I needed a lot more exploration into their relationship. I got it. Checked that block.
I guess I needed more of the, like Catherine was never held responsible for trapping Rachel there.
No, she was the big
sister. And that pissed me off.
And to know as what happens with, I'm going to say it, sometimes you have these terrible people, and then when they're in a moment of being caught, they're just like, well, I have cancer and I'm dying, so now you can't be mad at me.
That is what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
So, I mean, I felt like that was the resolution that the book wanted us to come to, but I still was like, no. Like, she just did this terrible thing to her sister. Like,
yeah.
What? Happens. Like, I need to know what was behind that for Catherine. Like, why she would choose to do that. Like, what was at stake? It could not just all be about money. Oh, and
I'm so sorry. So, again, like, I don't know. I didn't need any further explanation on the sisters. As someone who grew up with sisters, I was like, cool. Yeah, tracks. Moving on.
I mean, right away, and I don't know when this book was published. I think I said I was going to look it up and I never did, but we started reading it right around the inauguration. So my immediate connection was the tech giants that were there at the inauguration, because they talked about how the tech giants that built the space station were at an inauguration, I believe, or
I don't remember that part, but I might
basically they were integrated into the government because they basically people could pay for security clearance or privacy, not security, excuse me, privacy clearance. But anyway, so when we first started reading the book, I made lots of parallels to current events. So that might also be a reason why I gave it a higher rating, because I was seeing parallels to what is happening now, or even just looking at it as a cautionary tale.
Fair.
As I have written down here in my notes, is this a cautionary tale about the future of tech and AI and me dealing with AI pretty much on a daily basis with education? It's concerned. Yes, I enjoyed the philosophical part of.
There's a lot of the AI stuff that I'm really not a fan of, but I guess I didn't really. There were parts of it that bothered me. Obviously, the whole phone planted in. So they have phones planted in their ear, and they can. Is it through their eye? Because. It's not like a screen in front of them, so.
No, it is, I think.
No, I thought that was for something else, for like the air.
Oh, okay.
Because they can take that part off, but the phone stuff is still like essentially coming into their vision somehow.
Yeah.
And so when they get a message, it's like in their vision. They can look at their archives. So when it has, as far back, I guess, is when they got their first phone, because I think they're all connected. They can go into what they call the archives and look at anything that they have done, any memories that they have. And I found it interesting, and I agreed with the fact that they talked about how people made different decisions on kind of everything, even as much as like what they picked to eat, because they knew other people could view that. Other people could see what decisions they were making and what they were doing. And first of all, I'm very uncomfortable with that.
But
zero privacy left
but
in the world.
No. the privacy is there if you can pay for it.
Sure.
Because there was the levels. So again,
there's no privacy left in the world. Unless you're a billionaire. Yep. But even then, they kind of showcase that even Rachel, who was one of the co-founding members of Census, didn't have privacy at the end of the day.
She did not.
She thought she did. But she had somebody watching her every fucking move. So really, it was Catherine's
discretion on who had
privacy. I was going to say it's her company, and her sister just became her puppet.
Yeah.
That's fair. I'm trying to look up when it was published, but I don't know.
I did kind of like that part, too. So there's the story of the pioneers going on the space station and trying to live on the space station.
So they're and then there's the test dummies for this other project.
Right. So the secondary goal or story was this lady Tess, who her job was in to watch all of the pioneers and code their decisions and their behaviors and plug it into this algorithm so the algorithm of the phone will then alert people like, hey, this is what, if you go down this path, this is what you will do. If you make this decision, like
predicting
behavior. Yeah. So she was basically a behavior analyst. But nobody knew, the pioneers didn't know that was happening to them, that they were being watched. And then towards the end of the novel, she kind of started inserting herself into their situations to kind of manipulate. She said it was just like, well, I'm just trying to help the algorithm. But I think it was more of a, like, morality thing for her getting involved.
I think that she fell for Alex.
I don't think she felt. She was a lesbian.
Yeah, I know that. But I think that she created some kind of weird bond. I mean, obviously, she wanted him and his wife to work out. Mm-hmm. But she had this weird bond that wasn't really, like, love and attraction. But she had something, an attachment of some kind to this man and to his daughter, which that's again, true. I thought was very, very uncomfortable and inappropriate that they were watching the teenager like that.
Well,
which don't get me started.
She was 13. She was 13. At 13, all kids can go on social media. So I kind of made my peace with it in that way. I didn't like it, but because she even questioned herself. Like, I like Tess. I like Tess because even though she came to realize, like, yeah, this is probably not moral, like, this is not a great job, but, and I guess I like that she was very introspective.
She reminded me of a creepy dude in a basement.
I mean, she wasn't in a basement, but
she was in a house in the middle of nowhere. She was in a house for like a year before she went out.
Oh, yeah. In like Montana, right? Or somewhere.
Or Wyoming. Somewhere.
Yeah. So, but I still thought I really truly felt like she believed she was doing something good. And I believed that for her. I did believe that for her. I did not think.
So were you surprised in the end when there were multiple people watching them?
I was. I was actually very shocked by that. I was like, dang. I feel like I shouldn't have been.
I was instantly disgusted. Like, I kind of felt like, I'm like, yeah, of course. But at the same time, like, I was already grossed out watching or listening to, reading some of her scenes. And to think that there's like 20, 30, 40 more people doing the same thing. I was just like, oh, gross. And I just felt instantaneously bad for the people being watched. Because, I'm sorry, to have her, she was sitting in a private room watching these two people have sex.
She
in,
did.
Like, detail.
Yep.
Through that their happened. Eyes. And so to think that not only her, but, like, tons of other people were doing the same thing with every one of them who, like, once their families came up, she was like, they're having sex with their families. Yeah. They're doing.
I did, though, just think,
it's just too much.
I felt like she was learning how to become a person. And I really liked Tess. And I felt bad in the end when they kind of turned on her. Because the Pioneers eventually did find out that she was.
I felt like that was inevitable. Because how would you feel, though?
It was inevitable because the algorithm told her.
Yeah, well, how would you feel? If you were told that you are in a world already, first of all, we're in a world where they're telling you that you're completely private now. Like, you're going up on the space station, no one can see you because it's a security risk anyway.
Right.
And so you finally get privacy in your life where you haven't had it down on Earth. And instead, there's these people watching you, every single thing that you do. And not only is this one watching you, but then she tries to, like, act like you guys are friends, because she knows you so well, but you are just meeting her. But she acts like you guys are friends. She knows all your deepest, darkest secrets. Would you not, like, feel offended and, like, betrayed a little?
I would feel offended, but...
She tried to make herself one of them. She tried to make them feel like, I was sent here just like you guys. I'm in the same boat as you guys. She wanted to go.
She did want to go, but she was still just an employee of Census. She was just as duped as they were.
But no, because there's a huge side to that. She was watching them, and they had no idea. They literally thought she was just another scientist on the fucking thing. And she wasn't. She was a scientist, but she was a creepy pervert watching them in their private moments.
She was doing her job. I don't think it's fair to say she was a creepy pervert when literally her job was to code behavior. Sex is a behavior. Everything is a behavior. So, I mean,
yeah, but you also have 7 other people to look at. You don't need to watch their sex in detail. Like, go look at somebody else. Yes,
because that was literally her job. To make the algorithm stronger at predicting people's behaviors. So she had to code what behaviors and decisions that they were making. So then it would be able to accurately predict.
But she did start ignoring people because she became so attached to certain ones.
And she did insert herself into her job properly. Getting the family up on the space station. Now, so that's a good point. Did you think that was... good or bad? Because on Earth, she was about to go to jail or something, right? Go to juvie.
Mary Agnes.
Oh, Mag. Yeah, I was like, ooh, yeah. So, did she do something good there? Because she kind of did save her life.
Okay, but the way the book read, we don't know that Tess knew all of those things. Tess got involved because she determined that Alex needed those people up there.
That is true.
She did not, at least the book, because again, lots of holes in this book. I don't know if I've said that yet, but lots of holes in this book. Yes, it like deep dives you into a character and then dismisses them for like hundreds of pages. But
true.
It doesn't determine whether or not she did it for Mary Agnes's sake. She did it for Alex's sake.
Fair. Either way, do you believe that was a good thing that she did?
No. No, I don't think it's a good thing that she did. I think that it did inevitably benefit the family, Alex's family, but also not, because Meg was so sure she did not want to go there. And the only reason that she did go up is because her daughter had fucked up.
Mm-hmm. But you know who is thriving there? Shane.
No, that was...
And he
benefited because Meg was definitely afraid that...
So, it's... Again, this book was so, like, philosophical for me just because it... I feel like there was so many of those... Maybe not so many, but... That was a... Just an example of how one decision, you know, benefits someone somewhere and makes someone else's life miserable. Like, you just never know. And
honestly, the entire Mary Agnes storyline was hard to read. Because not only,
It was.
You start to relate to her in a sense in the beginning anyway, because here's this teenager who who idolizes her dad.
Yeah.
And so obviously she starts getting mad at her mom because they separate. And then she, you know, has a crush on a boy who ends up being a rapist.
Mm.
And which, okay, side note. Do you think he actually raped these girls? Or do you think it was all just a technical manipulation?
I really thought he did at the beginning. Or at the beginning of that scene. I was for sure like, oh yeah, he's totally raping her. And he's telling her, oh no, she's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. I thought he was. But then when they explained everything, I was like, you know what? I don't think he was dumb enough to actually rape. I think he did just do the manipulation because then it was art, right? So I think he was doing exactly what he knew he could get away with.
But is it any better than actual rape?
No, because they were still exposed. They were still exposed.
There's definitely some posting videos of him having sex with women, whether he was actually having sex with them or not.
Yeah.
Which is disgusting.
So, he was putting their faces onto other bodies and basically making AI porn, basically. I thought
it was them, and then he would just, like, manipulate certain body parts, like their boobs and stuff.
Yeah, I guess. Some kind of way. But, technology being what it was in the future, he couldn't be held responsible because it was considered art. So
yeah, and that's the problem too, right? He had access to their facial expressions from any time he'd interacted with them, and so he was using that
because
to make
it
look like they were enjoying themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fucking disgusting. Do you think that Mary Agnes was in the right or wrong, or do you think she took it too far with her retaliation and her anger?
No, I thought she was perfectly fine.
But there were definitely casualties.
There was collateral damage, and okay, I guess she took it a little bit too far with making it replay at random times. But the initial...
She essentially put a virus on his entire family through their phones. I don't remember what the video was, though. It was some kind of terrible video of the boy doing something, and his little sister ended up trying to commit suicide because she couldn't get it to go away.
No, because, well, it wasn't that. It was, she wasn't trying to commit suicide.
Yeah, she did.
She attempted suicide. Her, she got seizures, right? Or something with the, she had some kind of illness or whatever with the phone.
She did, but she also attempted suicide because of it. I remember that part.
Yeah, because anytime she got any notification, she would get dizzy. And it was something like that. She would get dizzy, excuse me. And then she would, like, pass out or whatever. Mm. Something like that.
Do think she had an illness, but
she that's what it was.
What took it to a criminal level is this girl tried to commit suicide because of it.
No.
All right.
I don't think that
we read
was
different
it.
Books.
I know. Like, I don't think it was because she tried to. It was she tried to get the notifications to stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, because that is what created her sickness or whatever with it. Anyway, I think that was an unfortunate side effect, but I think, no, she should have gotten her
anyway,
revenge.
They tell this story, right? So you get deeply invested in Magnus. That's what they call her. That's her nickname, Magnus. And the things happening to her in school, and then you realize, you're told that she gets in a deep amount of trouble, and then her mom just ships her off to her brother's house, I think.
Yeah.
Which is off the grid. And then literally they don't talk about her again until she's on Parallaxis. So you've nothing. You get no update whatsoever of, like, what's going on.
I mean, that didn't bug me that much.
I don't know, it bothered me. Again, I don't know. I think it's because some of the other stories I didn't feel like I was as invested in as I got in hers.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely deeply invested us in her, for sure.
And then just left her off the page forever.
I mean, but they picked her back up.
Sort of.
I could see that she was changed. When they picked her back up, I could see that the whole experience had changed her. But I feel like
we missed out on that. We didn't get to see all the changes that happened in her. Because it wasn't just going or doing that. It was... like, she had to live off the grid for a while with literally nothing, with people who didn't know what was even happening in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, there were so many things impacting her in that moment. Her mom abandoned her there, too, also. Let's talk about that. Her mom was like, here you go. We're going to go live with other family somewhere else.
Well, I mean, I feel like her mom was just making the best choice with the options that she had at the time. So I don't fault her. I don't fault her.
But I'm not saying I fault her. She also has so much of that we missed out on.
She also had to deal with shame. So the other kid could not live off the grid because of his allergies. Yeah. but I also think that was important to show that there was a whole subset of people who were not buying into the technology that was so clearly ruling everybody's life.
I also feel like we forgot to mention how important the climate crisis was in this book. Like, that was essentially the giant moral of the story. Well, I don't know,
And that was the point that if anyone has seen Interstellar, Sarah has not. So then you would know that's the part that...
it's the driving force. The world's on fire, literally.
Yes. That's the part that was parallel to... Interstellar. The world is on fire. You have to find a solution.
My bad. But the solution was just build a space station for billionaires. But even then, it's only eight billionaires, and they're all they get to live out there. So eight people the Sun Sisters chose to save.
And they didn't choose to. Those people paid. I don't think the Sun Sisters were choosing people.
I don't think they were morally...
Yeah, and I wanted to love them at the beginning, and I did not. But I loved how at the end, and I think I even wrote this down, I liked how I said, will Rachel do right by them now that she had the same experiences as them? But I also liked, I want to say there was a somewhat a line, somebody said it, like, is she one of us?
I don't think she ever thought herself as one of them. Question. I thought she always thought of herself as above them.
But how can you literally had the same experiences?
No, you didn't.
So even she did. So
not
even
fully.
How did she not? She was eating the same food as him. She was breathing the same air as him. Living in the same places. Using the helper to go poop. Like, I mean, she was doing the same things.
But they were all accepted a position to go up there in order to further their research and to do something good. She was just sent there to check on stuff, and she isolated herself away from them in a sense and did not actually become part of the pioneers the way Tess did.
Until her sister refused to bring her down.
She still didn't do that. She sat in the helper with the one guy. She did not integrate with the pioneers and the scientists on board.
Yeah, but I still feel like once it became clear she was not going to be able to leave, she was one of them.
I don't think she was one of them. I still think she felt separate from them.
I mean, maybe she felt that way, but...
she was their boss, for starters.
But at the end, she's like, I don't have any answers. I don't know. Because she didn't. And I felt at that point, she had humbled herself and was like, I'm not in charge of this. There's nothing I can do. Like, my sister is in charge of everything, and...
I don't know if that made her one of them, though. Wow. In my eyes.
And I choose to believe that once she gets home, she will do right by them. And I don't think she'll make What's-Her-Face pay the fines or whatever. I don't think she'll do it. I don't think she'll hold her liable.
I don't know. I think you give her more credit than she's worth.
Maybe.
I think she's weak.
I don't disagree, but... but she also built this amazing...
She did not. That's the whole point. She did not. Her sister built it. She was the face of the company.
Okay.
Because she was the prettier one, as they said. And so her sister was able to have pure privacy. Mm-hmm.
and she made sure that her little sister did not, and she was the face that everyone could see. And she never had pure privacy like she thought she did. She was a goat, essentially. She was like...
I think she still did some work. I think she still...
I'm not saying she didn't do work, but smart, I think that she didn't realize how much she was actually being used by her sister.
Yeah.
Her sister was actually the one doing all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
So, I had several questions.
You only get three.
Nope.
No, I'm just kidding.
So, I had written down in the beginning, will Tess discover something dangerous from watching Rachel? And I don't think I guess she did kind of discover something dangerous, not from watching Rachel, but from watching Alex. But I think from watching Rachel, she discovered that, I don't want to say how evil Senses was, but they were after their own.
She already knew that, though.
She didn't, because remember, she refused to, like, work for Big Tech.
Yeah, because she thought that they were evil.
Right. But then I think she changed her mind, and she convinced herself, like, hey, this is just behavior. I'm just studying behavior.
I don't think it ever changed her mind about Senses. I think she was, what's the word I'm looking for? She was seduced into the position.
Mm. Yeah.
How come these are blue now? And those are white.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
At one point, I did think Catherine and Rachel were the same person. I did think that, but that was quickly dispelled. And then I have the algae discussion dystopia. So I guess I wrote that down
to
say.
Your face just now was hilarious. Continue.
I guess I wrote that down to say, is the algae, I feel like that was leading to the algae is going to take over. But, you know, we didn't get that. That's what, that for me is what was missing at the end. Like
just pure destruction.
I know they destroyed it, but
no, I mean, what was missing? Destruction of the planet. Is that what was missing for you? Because it was being destroyed by fire. Algae was supposed to be the answer to like combat
the
fire.
Because then I have here
and like repurpose carbon in the air.
Irma
for me.
Yes. So what's his face? Alex created that new species. And then so did Irma.
Yeah, but theirs were different, right? Hers was better.
They were different.
She actually got it.
Yeah.
But
you can't just put that out. You can't just... You think that went away? I don't think that went away.
No, it shouldn't have.
Even though they said that they burned it all and blah, blah, blah.
I also feel like that was a weird dismissal of so much of the story, because I feel like Alex is the first person you meet anyway, and it's like I'd say about 75% of the book is all about this algae that has to be created to save the earth and just give them fresh air to breathe and do all these things, and then somebody creates it and it happens and they destroy it.
But see, no, I think that was the moral dilemma. This book was filled with moral dilemmas.
I mean, it was definitely that.
Yes, that was the moral dilemma. Do you allow, because that was the plan B, right? Do you allow this algae to be created to only benefit the people in the space station? Because that's the only way that it could be controlled, right? Mm-hmm. Or not. And eventually they did choose to just let the algae only be able to help the people at the space station, and the people on the earth were just fucked. So I got that. That was the...
I didn't agree with that decision.
I also wrote down, and again, maybe, I don't know, I'm always searching for the theme in books, okay?
You do what you want.
Books. Thank you. It says, who is the real invasive species?
Can you say that again?
Who is the real invasive species? Because the reason why they destroyed all of Irma's, right? algae was because it was taking over everything, and it was like multiplying rapidly and changing DNA, blah 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 blah. I definitely wanted it to go into more detail about that because that's like the cooler dystopian part, like, yeah, that's gonna take over and blah. But anyway,
yeah, it was weird that it didn't, because there were some parts that would get super sciencey and then others it would be like, you don't really need to know.
But I came to terms with it because of, I'm like, it was there, it's there to create this moral dilemma. And so I was like, okay, is it trying to ask us who is the real invasive species? Are we the invasive species not allowing this algae to,
I mean, if she created it, does that make her the invasive species for creating another species? Or are you saying they're invasive because they don't allow it to survive?
I'm not sure. I just wrote this question down. Okay. As I was reading it. But so I don't remember exactly why I wrote it down. I think what I was getting at was, look at all that we had done to the Earth and the fact that we even had to build the space station. So we then are the invasive species. And I think this isn't the first book to bring that up or whatever, that we have done more damage than, mm-hmm. you know, we as a species have done more damage than the Earth has done to itself. So I guess that's where I was getting with it. Like, look at...
But now there are the invasive species in space.
Right. And so was it right to then kill that when we are the ones who do all the damage?
I don't know.
You know, like, we fucked up Earth, and here we are about to fuck up space, and maybe this algae could have saved us. Even though, yeah, it seems dominating to us. It was man-created. Because we can't control it.
So created by this species, though.
Was it? No, because it was species. Allowing those two species to... Those algae species to coexist.
But the human, we controlled Irma that and or Alex, brought those species together to create the species, the super algae.
Okay.
That's okay. All I'm saying. Like... Man still created this new species.
True. So
it's still invasive in one way or another.
Alex did find a species too.
Yeah.
And I thought that should have been explored. That his species. I get why they destroyed Irma's. It was crazy. It was growing crazy. But his, they never, it didn't get destroyed. It just, what it, he said it died did. Out, right? Or
the first one created a toxic gas and he almost died and he had to kill it all. The first time he thought that he got it right and he told everyone he got it right, he found the cure or whatever, the solution, and then it turned into toxicity. And he woke up with a rash all over his face because he'd slept in the lab.
Oh, that's right.
And he had to kill everything.
Well, either way, I feel like those were avenues that could have been explored, but I can see why the book didn't, just because that's not what the book was about. The book was about the behavior. I think the book was about Tess's job.
Huh.
People's behaviors and technology and how that is affecting us, because
so bad for you.
Is it?
I truly believe
Tess believed everything that she was saying, because
everyone hated her. But it doesn't matter, because if one person believes that it can do good, there's still 27,000 other people who are like, yeah, but we could also do this with the same thing and make millions more dollars, and they don't care that it's terrible. But I think that technology itself was very invasive of people's lives.
It was, but all I could think was, you know what? If it stops one person from killing themselves, like, if it says, hey, you know, you do this, you're probably going to kill yourself tomorrow.
Oh my goodness.
That's what it was getting at. You didn't...
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was saying.
I see what you're saying, but...
That it's going to stop people from making bad decisions. And yes, here, bad decisions have their place, obviously. That's how we learn. But for some things, like, hey, don't have this next drink because you're going to pass out and die. You know? I don't know. That... Maybe I was reading too far into it, but that is what I was getting. That's what I thought that Tess was saying about. That's why she was so fiercely defending the Views Project.
I have a question to change this topic. Do you think that taking the, what is it, four kids, four teenage ish kids up to Parallaxis?
Oh yeah, another moral dilemma.
What do you think happens to them? Like, do they just live on Parallaxis the rest of their lives because they could probably never come back?
Well, they believe that they could. The what's her face, Mary Agnes's friend, I can't remember her name.
I can't either right now. Anyway, but
she believed she was gonna be a lawyer. How is she gonna go to law school if she didn't?
I mean, the technology was advanced. I'm sure she could do it. But they, like, I feel like they proved it with what's-his-face, depending on how long they stayed there, because Carl or Koskov or whatever his name was had been up there for 8 years, and he couldn't even stand anymore. His muscles were completely deteriorated, and his bone mass was deteriorated. These children haven't even fully developed those things yet, and now you're putting them in space. And so my real question, though, was not even just that part of it, but... You now only have four. Are they supposed to help restart the species when everyone dies?
That's a great point. Do they just
grow up and
one of those cohabitate that they did not address? But I think,
like, what happens to these kids you left in space while the planet dies?
Yeah.
Does everybody die? That's a great point. Or just die out as a population?
Well, I think that's the conclusion that Alex came to. Like, if I can't save the Earth, then I guess we're just watching them die. And I think he was then happy that his family came.
Yeah, but now you also have to watch your family die slowly. Because there's nowhere for them to go or nothing that they can do. They just have to sit on the space station and slowly die also.
I mean, live their life. I don't think they weren't
slowly... I mean, how much of a life are you really living, though, on that space station?
That is a great point.
Obviously, the kids can't go to school, as you just said, because also, even with the technology, if Earth doesn't exist, their phones probably won't even work, so they are literally just there.
You don't think that Catherine's son figured out a way to run everything from Parallaxis?
Maybe, but she died before it happened.
She didn't.
She was dying of cancer.
She was dying, but she hadn't died yet. And Rachel was going back down to Earth, so...
So many questions left unanswered.
Yes, there were unanswered questions.
It just, yeah, lots of holes, lots of loose ends. I didn't like it.
I had another moral dilemma question.
I did struggle to read this book. This book took me so long to read because I could maybe 10 minutes a day, and then, well, to be fair, I was really busy, but still.
Did it take you long because of all of the
scientific nonsense,
moral dilemmas it was bringing up?
No, because I was struggling to read it, period.
Fair. But I don't know, I like books that make you think. I do. And I also have here, so a possible theme is, like, what is our responsibility to the other generations? Because Alex really struggled with that the whole book. Like, he did not want to make the space station better if he couldn't make Earth better. But I felt like at some point, like, he had to let that go. Like, why did he think that was solely on his shoulders?
I don't think he thought it was solely on his shoulders. Remember, I think, because there was a discussion between him and his wife in the beginning about that. And I think he just felt so passionately about it, and nobody else had found the answer either, that he refused to give it up.
True. I think he, that's why he lied at the end, was because he wanted
it to be true.
He wanted to save the earth.
I mean, yeah, I think
he wanted to be the one.
But also, I think it was just really difficult for him to admit that he got it and be so happy after 20 years of research and trying to make this, find this answer. And then in like 12 hours, it had completely eaten itself and destroyed itself. And now, or it became toxic, whatever. And now he had to go out and face them and tell them after being in a marriage where his wife essentially was like, you know,
you worked too much. Yeah.
He thought he was a failure in his wife's eyes. I don't know if she really saw him as a failure, but no. I think he thought she might have. Now he had to go tell all these people who had been relying on him and waiting on him to find this answer that he was wrong, and he didn't, after all, find the answer. And that was really hard for him.
Well, my question still is, what is our responsibility to the other generations? Do you feel like we have to help? Or can we go to a space station and conscious clear?
No. The second part of that, no. I think that makes you... yeah, of course it's our responsibility.
Okay.
I feel like we, as the older generations, have already made a bigger impact than the younger generations, and so to just leave them with your mess is pretty shitty.
True. Okay, that's fair.
We just have to teach them to be better and
I don't know.
We were.
I mean, I agree with that, but also it's like we're all just victims of circumstance too.
I mean, that's true, so, but why do we get to escape while they deal with all the consequences of numerous generations before them? They don't have the means and the money to escape because they're not billionaires, and I mean, technically, we don't either, but yeah. There might be some people in our generation who have the money to escape, but why is it fair that these people who can afford to, who probably have done the most damage to the planet, depending on how they made their billions, get to escape and let everyone else suffer the consequences? I don't think that's right at all.
Well, and that kind of brings me to my last question that I wrote here, was the theme.
Wait, you didn't answer the last question.
Yeah, I did.
What do you think? You think we should be allowed to just go up to space station if we can afford it? And watch everyone else die?
I think sometimes the problems are beyond us. And then at a certain point, you know, you gotta just
everyone
do
out for themselves.
The best. Not everyone out for themselves, but you have to do the best with the information that you have or the opportunities that you have. And if you had an opportunity to go to the space station, you're telling me you wouldn't go with all that was happening in the world?
I don't know. I don't know what my circumstances are. You wouldn't go? Me right now in this moment? No, probably not. I wouldn't take the place of someone who could actually do better in the future. Kids who have the ability to actually live a longer life and make changes.
So okay,
no,
that's a good point.
I would not. In this moment. It's not like I have a family to save, you know what I mean? It would be just me, and that'd be really selfish and shitty, and no, I wouldn't do it.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome. I didn't open my seat for you, though.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I love you, but...
Just so I know.
I literally
it
just
wasn't
said
for me. For some young people. Okay.
Not necessarily being young, but someone who has the ability to make an impact that could help future generations.
I mean, I think if I really got some kind of offer, I would probably come to that same conclusion, but
doubtful.
I would think about it.
I'm just kidding. But you're in a different situation, right? So, like, you have a son, so you have to think about not just yourself.
Yeah.
You have to think about you and your son.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's why mine is easier, because it's just me.
Okay, so I have this last question that I wrote down was theme, family. Who's setting, I think I'm meant to put our paths? Huh? So... I don't know.
What
do you think? What do you think I meant by that?
I have no idea. What are you saying?
Who's setting our paths? Because I feel like at the end, you know, they were so mad at Tess and like basically thinking that she manipulated all of these manipulated things in their lives when she didn't. They were still making decisions. Yeah, she probably, you know, she manipulated a little bit, but ultimately I still feel like they were making their own choices. So I think that's where that question came from.
I feel like the couple parts that get really blurry, I guess we'll say, with that is that she started to insert herself into therapy sessions and changing notes that the therapist was taking and changing the COGS, they called it, like the pattern test, whatever that thing was. I don't know what to call it.
Yeah.
I thought that was very intrusive of her and a little bit manipulative because, again, like, she purposely set one up for Mary Agnes when they got up there to trigger her or to, like, try and get an honest reaction out of her. And, I mean, that was her ultimate downfall.
I was going to say, like, it backfired.
Pushing this kid who was too smart for you into a corner. And then, of course, she manipulated a situation where Meg had said, no, she's not coming. And that was something that Alex was prepared to deal with and something he had accepted. And instead you took away a family who did want to come and who,
yeah,
I mean, that was pretty shitty too.
That was pretty shitty.
So I do think she manipulated a few things. She wasn't all honest and moral. And innocent.
Yeah, I wish I'd written more notes down about this question because I don't know exactly what I meant. Because I have that family piece in front of me.
Yeah, so
family.
It could be who's similar, setting right? our path. So, like, Mary Agnes and Shane only get this opportunity because of their father's research, even though their mom never wanted them to go up. So. Mm-hmm. It could be talking about that, right? Like,
yeah.
But it was actually a third party who ended up determining their path.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and then at the end, when, maybe that's what I was speaking on at the end when, you know, what the girl, Mary Agnes's friend, who we can't remember her name.
I feel like I started with an A, like a Maya or a,
something like that. Yeah. Anaya. I think it was Anaya.
I remember some things.
Because one of them was like, who's gonna do this? And she was like, we will. And that was the end, right? And I think that's where that came from. Weird. Like, okay, so yeah, the algorithm might be helping you and determining things for you, but ultimately, like, you have to be in control.
I don't even know that it was determining things for them. I think it was just trying to predict what kind of decisions they would make in given situations.
Right.
Which,
but
to me...
Okay, you know what? That's
okay,
a
wait,
great
can
question.
Can we talk about
if
the dark side
that,
of that? Hold on.
Okay,
let's
what's
talk
the
about
dark
side
of
that? Is I'm thinking of, like, marketing and big companies who are going to now influence...
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
I thought of that 100%. Well, I don't know if I put that on there. Walking social media...
Yeah, you said that, but if this algorithm, like all the 30,000 other people who are not necessarily as moral as Tess thinks she is, and they're developing it in a way that's just taking advantage of people and in the sense of predicting their behaviors, and therefore these other companies, billion-dollar companies, can now use those predictions to manipulate them.
For sure. Like, that's definitely a piece of it.
Yeah. You had another question, though. Did you forget?
I did forget.
I just want to know real
I quick. Thought Tess was a robot.
Why?
Because she was so awkward, like, talking to people. But I guess that's because she literally never talked to people. So, but I was like, is it going to come up? Oh, this is what it was. So, I thought she was a robot because, one, she never talked to people, but also because they were going to use the views data to then create robots that could be super, super human-like because they have all the human data and what humans will do in any given situation or whatever. That's what I thought. And then
I have a dumb question though about that.
And so I thought eventually, so Catherine's son didn't care about whether or not Alex's research worked for the Earth, because she didn't care about the Earth, because they're going to repopulate the Earth with robots. That's what that's where I thought it was going.
Okay, I have a dumb question about that, though. What the fuck is the point of that? If the humans are dying, what are the robots for?
I guess you got a point there.
Cool, you have a new civilization, but you're not part of it. So, like, you created it, and then you died, and now there's just robots roaming the Earth that's half dead. What the fuck is the point of that?
Great point. You're right. I don't know what the point that is, but that is where my mind went. I'm like, she's doing this views data for robots. That was immediately my thought. And I was like, I bet she's a robot. Twist. That's what I thought the twist was going to be at the end.
There was no twist, though, really.
There was. The fact what that she hurt, she then was being spied on. And
I don't think that was really a twist.
That was a twist for me. I was like, dang. That sucks, because Tess really thought she was doing something good and thought she was doing something moral, and she thought she was in control of it. It was one of those
moments where you're like...
And she wasn't.
Yeah, man, you got in bed with a giant tech company. Mm-hmm. Why did you think?
Yeah, that's true. Well, and at a certain point, I think everyone on the space station thought that they were in control.
And nobody ever was.
And no one ever was, yeah. Except Catherine. Catherine wasn't in control of it all.
Was she even at one point?
Yeah.
She's dying in a hospital.
I think she
bed.
Would. Oh, I mean, there's that.
And it was just living on without her.
Well, we don't know if she was dying in a hospital bed.
You're right. She was too rich. She was dying in a hospital bed.
Yeah.
The point is, all that stuff was going to go on without her. She wasn't really in control anymore either. There were other people in place to keep going with her instruction. But then they all have the right, or maybe not the right, that's not the right word, but like, if she dies, they can kind of do whatever they want with the tech. Yeah. Because there's now nobody in control.
Do you think she left it all to Rachel?
No.
I don't think she did either. No. I don't think she trusted Rachel.
I think that Rachel thought she did.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But no, absolutely sure. not. I don't think she... Because again, she didn't even include Rachel in 90% of what she was doing. She sent her off to go, like... schmooze billionaires and go be the face of the company. She had no idea what was actually going on inside the company.
She didn't.
We have no idea who she actually trusted. Because it sounds like nobody. Well, this was an interesting off-the-wall read, not something I ever would have picked up.
I definitely would have, because it was on a dystopian list. That's where I got it from.
Well,
so
obviously it was on your TBR.
Yeah.
However, the amount of beautiful space, wines with space labels definitely made me very joyous while looking for wines for this book. So pretty.
Well, I'm glad you got enjoyment there. I mean, I just think one of the reasons I love dystopia is because of the, like, moral dilemmas that people have to go through.
That's fair. And I mean, I like dystopian sometimes too. I didn't love this one.
I did say my final thought was the book left more questions than answers. Yeah, so, and I
really
don't love
gaps.
That. Yeah. I didn't love that.
There were times where I was like, did I miss a whole chapter? Like, I'm really confused
right now. No, but again, I think the point
how did we get here?
Was social commentary about cell phones, about technology, about AI. Like, I think that is what the book was getting at. So I forgave it. I am proud of you, because I know this was not anywhere near anything that you would have read. And
I'm just hoping that next month you get something off my TBR. We will know
that's
that.
Fair.
So next month for book club pick is Memoir March. So we actually gonna be reading different books and discussing it in detail, which should be interesting. Or should we read each other's? Or should we both read both books? I don't know.
I plan to read The Third Gilmore by Kelly Bishop. Yeah. And I'm excited. I've been looking forward to this one.
I do not love nonfiction, so I have not committed to a memoir just because I don't love them. But I think I might just want to read something crazy, like Chelsea Handler. Yeah, I want to read something funny and, yeah.
All right, well, thank you for joining us on Keeping Up with the Joneses TBR. We will be back soon.